Today's episode is brought to you by Vesta Movement. Their instructors set the tone for high energy, ass kicking, and constantly changing workouts that challenge all muscle groups by incorporating both cardio and strength training. People of all levels of fitness will fall in love with their new approach to kickboxing classes. They've got the hottest playlists, the most encouraging trainers, and an awesome tight-knit community. They're here to change the fitness game in the ATL. I went down for my first class the other day and loved it. Alex and Missy and their team, they'll kick your ass, they'll take great care of you, it's badass trap music, it's an awesome, awesome way to get in shape. You can check out the website for more at VestaATL.com. They're located at 774 Ponce, which is next to the local, across from Dugan's, and catty corner to, you know what, the Claremont Lounge. Go down there, check them out in person, or hit them up on the web, that's VestaATL.com. Good day, everyone. Welcome back to the Atlanta Podcast. I am your host, Matt B. Davis. It's a Tuesday, which means you're getting a new episode this week. How about that? On today's episode, Katie Kiley. Now, Katie's one of the names that went down on the list right away with who should I talk to in Atlanta? Who would be somebody that represents this city, that means a lot to a lot of people in this city? Who would be great for the show? Katie Kiley. And thanks to our friend Steve Craig and our friend English Nick, we were able to get her because they came on the show paving the way. So a couple things. One, we did this at the studio, which is really cool. We did it right before and right when she went on air. So you'll hear sort of some of that. And also, you'll be hearing from a couple people. One is Bradley, who was working with us for a couple weeks, taking some photos and videos. He's no longer working here. He's off doing whatever he's doing. Good luck, Bradley. And then also Steve Craig, who happened to walk by the studio, and so he came in towards the end, so that was fun. But I'm super excited to bring this one to you. I honestly don't think I have much to say other than that, other than sit back and enjoy Katie Kiley, a voice that has been coming through car speakers and stereo speakers to my ears since I was a young lass here in Atlanta. Away we go. Did I say lass? Young lad. Away we go. Oh, we'll get to me later. There's so much there.
No, why don't we start with you? That would be a great way, because when people introduce themselves, right, you already know me.
Right.
I'm not even sure how you know me, but
right,
I want to know more about you.
Okay, so I grew up in Marietta, Georgia, and then for about a 10-year period, wanted to be famous and
moved. Does everybody want to be famous?
Yes.
Do you think, that would be a great thing to interview people and ask them. Does everybody want to be famous?
Well, you know what's interesting is that everybody who's quote-unquote successful, they all say the same thing, which is, doesn't matter that I'm here, it's the journey, and it's not about the money, it's about these 50 other things. And then many of us have been in a position where we say, well, that's easier for you to say because you've got X, Y, and Z.
Right.
So are you someone that's...
Wait, we're talking about you.
I know, but so we're going to do some back and forth here.
Okay, all right.
So for you, when people ask you that, like, hey, you appear to be successful at what you're doing. You've been in your field for, I'm not sure how many years?
35. That's right. Crazy.
Well, that's the thing is, I told Nick, I said, you know, I've been listening to Katie since I was a teenager, and I don't know if that hurts somebody's feelings.
No, are you kidding? I'll tell you what, though. Get a cancer diagnosis and you don't care about your age anymore.
That's what happened to you?
Yeah, yeah, it is.
How long ago?
It's been 8 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're okay?
Breast cancer diagnosis, yeah. Okay. I'm doing great.
Okay.
But it puts everything in perspective as far as being embarrassed about how old you are or anything, for goodness sakes.
Right.
So it's the best compliment when somebody goes to me, I've been listening to you since I was a kid.
Right.
I don't look at them and go, gosh, how old are you? You're insulting me. I love that. It makes me feel like I'm part of your life. That's just such a cool thing.
So you have been. So I grew up in Marietta,
cool,
as I said.
What school?
Wheeler High School.
Okay. I went to church at Wheeler High School for a while.
Really?
Holy Family
the
Church.
The one next to it?
Well, no, it's not next to it. Holy Family Church started at the gym at Wheeler High School.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My mom was the head of religious education there. And so when I was in high school, I graduated from high school in 77, so that will give you an idea.
Right.
So when I was in high school, they were building the church, Holy Family right. Church.
Well, now they've rebuilt the whole, it looks nothing like.
The school does?
Looks nothing like okay. when I went there. But
it was great school.
I lived right behind there, so I walked. Does anybody walk to school anymore? Mm-hmm. I walked to both East Cobb and Wheeler because they were across the street from each other, and I was less than a mile from school, so I walked there.
Oh, see, that's great.
And so I, so, you know, at that time, there was 96 Rock and Z93, and what was the pop station?
Well, the pop station, oh, 99, Power 99.
Power 99.
And the pop station for a long time was Z93.
Right. No, but then they went classic.
Then they went the classic hits.
Right.
Yeah,
so what years were you at 96 Rock?
I was at 96 Rock from 83 to 98.
Wow, that's a long time.
And then from, yes, and from Z93 from 98 to 2000. 7 years, whatever that is, 2005.
Right.
And then here, then I took a little hiatus because they flipped formats. They flipped to Dave FM.
Right.
That was the, knock wood, first time I ever lost my radio job, but they put it this way. They were like, we're laying everybody off.
But that's the thing. And obviously we'll get into your career a little bit more, but it does seem like for folks in radio and television,
yeah,
there's a lot of moving around. There's a lot of changing of formats, and you've got to move to some other town to try to make it, but you've been able to stick here for like your entire run.
Yeah, I've been so blessed. I like to say more than lucky, you know, because I don't really believe in luck because I don't have great luck when I gamble. But as far as living my life, I mean, honest to goodness, there are very few people that can say they've done it in their hometown. You know, I went to Northside High School.
Right.
We played Wheeler.
Right.
I went to E Rivers, which it's a Peachtree Battle, and it's still there. Northside is now North Atlanta. I went to Emory. So I really grew up here. And so to be able to work where my family lived and where all my friends that I grew up with are here, that's why I never changed my name for radio, although it's a great radio name. I'm not sure.
So it is, in fact, your name.
It is my name.
And that's the way you spell it.
Yes. K-A-E-D-Y.
You're like the only person.
Well, it's Catherine Edith, my two grandmothers.
Right.
So my aunt was like, hey, what if we put the K-A and the E-D together? And I'm not the only person, actually, but the only other person I've heard of with that spelling, her mom, my name was on a billboard years and years ago, and her mom saw it and liked that spelling. And so Katie Borst, she's on Facebook, but she spells her Katie the same way.
Right.
But she was a little girl. She was a baby, and her mom was a listener and spelled her daughter's name that way.
And so who did you grow up listening to?
Gary McKee and Yetta Levitt. Oh my goodness. Those people.
I know Gary McKee.
Yeah. And Yetta Levitt was the female sidekick, but she was so great. She was also on Channel 11 before Jill Becker was. They did a show. I can't remember what the name is. And Jill Becker's still around, which is really cool. She's a great lady. But Yetta Levitt just stopped. She must have been making a lot of money, I got to tell you. She had a clothing allowance, so I had her attorney at some point in my life because he was a customer of my dad's cigar store, and he was Yetta Levitt's attorney also, and he had a clothing allowance for her, and I'm like, so he's telling me that he's going to get me a clothing allowance. I'm like, I'm on radio. Nobody's looking at what I'm wearing back then, right?
Right.
And he did. He got me a clothing allowance because I had to go out and do public appearances all the time.
Right.
It was crazy. But anyway, Yetta Levitt was somebody that I really looked up to in Atlanta radio because she was so great. And then she was also on television.
Right. Now, a lot of these guys that I talk to, Steve Craig, English Nick, I'm trying to think about Von Hessler, they all have this similar story of, yeah, I was just kind of hanging out with this guy who worked at the radio station, and then they put me on one day. So was that your experience, or did you have like the, I want to go to broadcasting school and be a DJ person?
If I really wanted to be, I would have loved to have been on stage acting and singing and dancing. I mean, that's what I loved. I was in the School of the Arts at Northside.
Right.
But my brother was doing that kind of in New York. He was acting in New York.
Right.
And I saw what he was going through, and I was like, I don't think I want to live my life like that.
Did you always have the kind of like Brenda Vaccaro, Lauren Bacall like thing going on?
Well, my voice hasn't changed that much, although I did smoke for years. So
right.
That might have been something.
But that's what I'm saying. Did you always have that? Like,
yeah. I don't think my voice has changed, but I nobody ever said to me, you should be in radio. It wasn't like that. And so actually Monica Kaufman Pearson was my mentor.
Oh, that's awesome.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Now she's in radio right next door. She works at KISS on the weekends, so she's doing a radio show.
Right.
But she was my mentor. I was a student at Emory, and this is back when Emory, I graduated from there in 81. So they had no communications departments at all.
Right.
Very little Yeah, I was an English major.
Okay.
And I loved that. But my junior or senior year, I can't remember, but it was, if it was my senior year, it was very early that you could create your own internship. And I'd met Monica through somebody else that I'd worked for doing just, you know, work in between during summer and school time.
Right.
And Monica was the person that really inspired me and said, you know, you should start in radio. It'd be a great leg up to get into television because there are so few women in radio. And really and truly, she really took me under her wing and read my, you know, I was writing mostly at the time, but I didn't love writing.
Right.
I'm a good writer, but I don't enjoy it. And I knew I didn't want to do that for a living. And so she inspired me to get into radio. And literally, one of those defining moments of kind of coming full circle was coming to work at Cox Media Group. And WSB is here.
But have you been in touch with her through the years?
Yeah, but not that much. She gave me an award one time, which was really cool because we were looking at it and I hadn't seen her in probably 10 years, but I was like, holy cow, there was my speech because I got to say, this woman is the reason why I'm here.
So did you say, okay, so you start thinking about doing radio?
Well, she said that, and I didn't, of course, have a gig when I graduated from college, and my brother was living in Southern California at the time, and he said, why don't you come out here and live with the family and me and see if you can get a job in radio?
Right.
And, you know, I wish I knew this guy's name, because it's also because of him. You know, there are people that really in your life, you go, if that hadn't happened, I would never be sitting here. I would never have had this life. You know? But there was a guy at a pop station in Ventura County, California, and he said, well, you need to have a tape. You know, he was a music director. And so he met with me and then he said, I'll help you make a tape. So I made a little tape.
Are we talking cassette or reel to reel?
Cassette.
I was
beyond the reel to reel. But we still used reel to reel. But
I mean, both of those are obsolete, but it could have been reel to reel. Like,
seriously.
Like, so my dad had reel to reel and we listened to
music on it, right?
Yeah.
Like, he bought the tapes? Yeah. And stuff, yeah.
Like, there was some country music, there was some classical, there was like some movie, like old movie soundtracks.
Soundtracks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, then of course.
How old's your dad?
Well, this is my stepdad. It's so hard. We were interesting. We were just talking. So I told you I was talking to Jim Stacy, and we were talking about how age sort of trips you out as you get older. And sort of you look back, he said how recently he looked at like the Traveling Wilburys, who we all thought were 100 back then, but they weren't.
No.
They weren't even that old back then. So anyway, my sense of whatever is.
But I'm just kind of curious, the music you grew up with then, if it was your dad. See, I had my older brother's music, so I wonder if your dad's about their age.
Well, I've got what I think is the everybody's story of people around my age. So I graduated in 1990,
yeah.
So I had older sisters, and they had, you know, these records. So they had Led Zeppelin.
Oh, they did, so they were cool. They were listening to...
Right.
Yeah, okay.
So Led Zeppelin and Billy Joel and Elton John, and like that's what I... And I think that's what, again, it's come up a couple times now, is like, I wonder how that's being passed down now, because it used to be you had to have the cool older brother or the kid in the neighborhood that was the first to get a record, right? And now my son at 8 knows every genre because it's on YouTube. And if he hears a song once in the car, he'll go home and play it. So he enjoys classic rock, he enjoys Eminem, and as an 8-year-old, I wasn't aware of any of that stuff.
No, I know. Well, and the same thing we had, you know, my brothers had the folk stuff. Well, one brother was more folky, so it was like Crosby, Stills, Nash, or Peter, Paul, and Mary, and then the other was like Jimi Hendrix and the Beatles. And,
right.
One really didn't get into that much at all, and then I have four brothers, and my younger brother picked up what I picked up.
Right.
So that was all the rock stuff.
Right. Well, this is another thing that Eric and I talked about, was just this concept of rock kind of not being around anymore, like rock bands.
Right.
And I had thought, we were talking about how it feels like we were spoiled and didn't know it. Like when you do go back and look at, so all these amazing classic artists, what we used to call classic rock, so like the first generation.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you define it here.
Well, I would define that my first generation would be the Stones and Hendrix and stuff. I don't look at like the Elvis Presley and Jerry Lee Lewis as much. That's just too early for me.
That's what my stepdad was into, by the way. So I also got...
That's very cool.
Oh, no, that's awesome. That's super cool. But you know, I just heard Guns N' Roses on the way in here from this, you know, from this classic rock station,
yeah,
which was like me rocking out in fucking high school in 1989,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And I remember even when you guys, when I say you guys, I mean the Z93s of the world, like even when U2 first started becoming classic rock, it was scary because it was like, wait a minute, right?
That was you having to go, oh my gosh, am I this old?
Right.
Yeah.
Because you guys would sneak in like a new U2 song,
yep,
and say, well, they're... classic rock.
It's been 10 years or whatever. Yeah.
Right.
Or we sort of used to define it by 80s or however we did. But
right.
Yeah. Now we don't anymore.
It's just all classic rock.
It kind of is.
What's the most recent artist you play on this station?
I'd say right now, and the ones that kind of stick out like a sore thumb, though I love them, is like Warrant or Poison or something.
Right.
Because we're playing the kind of bubblegum 80s.
Right.
And that to me is kind of the hair band 80s, I
right.
guess. See, the Bon Jovis and stuff, they've always been there. So they've kind of stayed, even though Poison has, and you know, that just wasn't my favorite time in rock and roll.
Right, the
like
hair metal.
When we were playing that stuff on the air, I would just be like, and I loved the guys. And Cinderella. Cinderella's probably one of the most recent ones we're playing.
Right.
But Tom Kiefer, holy cow. I interviewed him like 6 times in 1 year. And somebody reminded me the other day, they were like, I remember when you used to call him my future ex-husband.
Because he kept coming in?
Yes.
Because they were touring constantly?
Yes. But he would come in and we became, you know, really big pal. He was one of the sweetest people I've ever met.
If I mention all the random shows I saw around that time, would you remember?
Maybe.
So there was a string there. I actually have a list somewhere where I wrote it down because I was nerdy like that.
Oh, that's great.
So between like 87 and like 94, like we saw like every show that came to town. So it jumped out at me when you said Cinderella was at Lakewood, was Cinderella, Whitesnake, White Lion.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And somebody else that I can't remember.
I do remember that. I remember that lineup. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Who was that fourth? I can't remember. But like for me, the most like defining, because again, I was kind of at that sweet spot age, was when Lollapalooza happened. So I was right there. So I went to every one of those, or at least the first 4 or 5. Were they in after that? I can't remember. Yep. But that was like, that's like, I can, you know.
That was your, that yeah, was when you hit.
That was my Woodstock.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I love that.
Yeah. So that's.
What was the other one? What was the one with the Spin Doctors and Horde? Remember Horde?
Yeah, but I was never into the sort of, that's quote unquote hippie shit to
yeah,
me. So
kind
I was
of,
never,
yeah. That's the, I was never that's quite the tapers, into right?
Right.
But I loved the Spin Doctors. For some reason, those guys were amazing live
right.
to watch.
But I'm not like the jam band
guy.
Like I've seen them all once and that was good for me.
I'm kind of the same way.
Right. Like, oh dude, you gotta come see Fish. And then I sit, you know, I did the drugs, I saw the Fish, and I was like, okay.
I didn't do the drugs and I saw them.
Okay.
But I was like, okay.
Well, I haven't had drugs in a long time, but back then
yeah.
it was like, you gotta go get high and see Fish, you know what I mean?
That's what people said to me about the Dead. They were like, and Jimmy Buffett. It was like, once you see them live, you're gonna totally get it, right? And I'm like, no, I really yeah. still didn't get it.
So I'm glad I got. So I saw them at the Omni, Grateful yep. Dead. Not. It must have been like a few years after that Touch of Grey came out, because I remember they did play that. It was like one of 8 songs I knew from the Dead, I guess. And again, I could say, hey, I've seen Jerry, and now
yes,
he's gone.
You know what?
Right.
You so have
that's
to
always
do that.
That's always cool. But yeah, it didn't.
You were getting school.
It didn't change my feelings about it at all.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Well, one of the questions I ask people at the end is about the best show they've ever seen in Atlanta. And I just, since we're talking about it now, is there any way you could pick one, or you think you'd have to like think of like the top 5?
Well, most memorable. I could do like most memorable because, let's see, U2, the first time I saw U2 was at the Civic Center. And so that was very memorable. I remember getting a chance when they were doing the Georgia Dome show, like however many years that was later, to interview. I'm not sure. It was
The Edge, Bono.
It was an Edge and
Paul,
Bono. It was
Paul Hewitt, isn't that the drummer?
Yeah, Beth Paul Hewson is Bono.
Oh, that's right.
Paul and now I'm drawing a total blank on the other two guys. It's not good. Anyway, I got to interview you two. And I was like, gosh, you know, this is so different from seeing you in this black and white kind of stark stage setup at the Civic Center to now where you've got video screens. Like, they are so ahead of their time always. U2 is like a million steps ahead of everybody else, I think. And to be able to talk to them about that and say, I was there, you know, how is this growing? They're like, it's just the way it's moving, you know?
So
that was very memorable.
So U2 at the Georgia Dome, as far as I know, it was the first concert at the Georgia
yes.
Dome.
Yes. Paul McCartney and U2 were like the first two.
Right. So I saw that show and Public Enemy opened up. And I have to say that's in my like top 5 of all time, even still this many years.
Even at the Dome.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Isn't that something? Yeah.
Well, we had good seats. And sometimes, again, I'm sure like, well, you know, I feel like it's silly to say to you because you're like, you live around music, but it's like a religious experience. Right?
Yes.
Like, I've had that a few times. I saw Elvis Costello at a tiny venue in Boston.
Oh, I love Elvis. I love Elvis.
Have you got to talk to him?
No.
What?
I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm going back to Adam Clayton is who the person was that I interviewed.
Adam Clayton.
So I'm sorry about that.
Sorry, Adam Clayton.
Yes, I interviewed Elvis. I don't even know why I'm saying no, I didn't, because I was so nervous about interviewing Elvis Costello. I was so nervous because I thought this guy is going to be all about kind of technical, you know. I really was super nervous about talking to him, and he was awesome. The biggest thing that you need to do is listen to their latest work, you know.
When so they don't, you don't, you're not talking to them about 1978.
Correct.
Because they're like,
because
I'm tired
then
of fucking.
You can, once you've said, you know, that song that's blah 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 on the new record. And really, I would do that with everybody, because I realized it was one of those things where they'd kind of stop and look and go, "You really listened?"
Right.
Because most people would be like,
right. And let's be honest. A lot of folks in your field can be, what's the word? Lazy?
You know, I guess that's kind of true. I was telling somebody, I'm just double checking my time. I was telling somebody the other day, there was a DJ that was on after me at 96 Rock, and I love him to death. I won't even mention his name, but he would show up late every night. I'm like, you're on the air at 7 o'clock, dude.
Well, how did he stick around?
Because I never said anything. I mean, I just covered his butt.
Oh, okay.
But he would always be late.
Were you the program director?
No. I never wanted to be a program director. I was happy just doing my thing. No, but it would be like I was doing afternoon drive.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, I've been working my ass off. I'm ready to be off now. And I'm waiting for your butt to come in after you were at Charlie Magruder's last night. Right. Doing I know what you were doing. I mean, seriously.
Can you sing the commercial from Charlie Magruder's?
Let's rock at Charlie Magruder. I can't remember how it went, but.
We're going to rock tonight at Charlie's.
Isn't that funny? That wasn't. They didn't use that for that long, did they?
I mean, if I remember
it,
if I remember it, yeah, it was. And I wasn't old enough to even go out at the time, but I remember.
That's hilarious. Yeah. I need to find out. I need to ask Butch who did that. What band cut that spot? That's funny.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying.
I think
like
we just jumped all over the place.
Well,
didn't
and
we?
That, by the way, that I'm very ADD,
okay.
And that's how it goes.
All right.
So as long as you're okay with it, I'm
yes.
okay with it.
Yes.
I didn't mean to insult your entire profession, which is
no, but I don't.
So
yeah.
So I used to do stand up, right?
Yeah.
And I know from a lot of comics who've done a lot of, you know, things that, you know, they go in and the guy, they haven't really done their homework. And, you know, it was just, you know, a typical morning zoo where they kind of try to out funny the comic and that kind of thing. Now, clearly
that's
your professional would not do that. But
well, no, that's not true. I think it depends on what you're doing. Like doing a morning show, the morning show people I knew really weren't like that. I mean, they really did their prep.
Right.
And I did mornings for 8 years. I just finished doing mornings last year for 8 years here. I never wanted to do morning show. I at 96 Rock, the way I started out was weekends. Then I went to morning sidekick. And then they said, do you want a midday show or do you want to stay on the mornings? And I was like, well, what do you suggest? You know, this was within 6 months of being there, my boss. And he said, well, if you do middays, there's a chance of you moving up. And I moved to afternoon drive within a year, and I did that for 15 years.
Right.
Well, really, for almost 25 years. I did. Then when I got hired here, they hired me for mornings. And I bow to anyone who does a morning show for longer than I did, because getting up at that time in the morning was one of the most horrible things I've ever endured. I'm not kidding. I think it's what gave me cancer. I'm not kidding.
Let's blame cancer on morning radio.
I'm a night owl. I love nighttime. I love it. You'll find me up at still 4 a.m. sometimes. I just love being up at night. And so for me, I could never get that. I couldn't nap. You know, I didn't enjoy napping at all. I was obsessed with trying to sleep. I had to take, what's the thing?
Xanax?
No, the sleeping pill.
I thought it was Xanax, but okay.
No, the one that begins with an A. Everybody knows who it is that's listening right now.
Yeah.
They're yelling
at their cars.
They are. Well, I have
or
a friend.
Or their phones.
I have a friend who started typing some weird stuff the other night on one of these pills, but it does great for me. But I mean, my doctor was like, I would rather you be healthy and sleep than not. Losing sleep is a really horrible thing.
Now, it's funny that first question you ask, everybody wants to be famous. Everyone says they're not a morning person, right?
Yes.
And then if they get in a situation where they've got to be up early, they body sense to get used to it. You did it for that long and still hated it?
No, I hated it. And the thing is, it doesn't get used to it. No, you need to interview more morning people, because they'll say, unless they're kind of a morning person.
So your morning
anyway,
started at what time?
I got up at 4:20 because I live
420.
Right down the street. Yeah, I would get up at 4:20. So normally that's when I'm.
So you live in this hood?
Yeah. Well, I've lived in this hood my whole time of being here.
Really?
Which is, yeah, since I was 10. So yeah, well, we're in Buckhead, but South Buckhead.
Oh, in Buckhead.
Yeah. No, and it was before people did that. Yeah, it's right. Buckhead. You know, I just say it because that's people know that area. But right. This is Midtown. So, no,
so one thing about Atlanta, like, have you traveled a bunch too?
Pretty much,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't know if you know that. Well, what your experience is, but anytime I ever went anywhere and I said, I'm from Atlanta, like, oh, I've been to Atlanta. I went to that place. What is it? Buck, some moose, something, Buckhead. And it's like, now we actually have, like, you know, the city has grown so much,
yes.
People actually do other stuff. But once upon a time, that's just, yes, I know Buckhead. Okay.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
It's
yeah.
The one place they went.
No, it's Atlanta. It's insane.
I know.
It's
and
insane.
I want to get to that too, but there was something we were talking about that was, so you're up at
wait, morning show.
So you're up
yeah.
at 4:20.
So I don't
you have
find,
to be here by what? 4:30?
No, I'd five? Have to be here by 5:15 or something. Yeah.
Okay.
By the first traffic report.
Right.
I got up at 4:20 because Mark Arum, do you know who Mark Arum is?
That name sounds
he right. does the traffic on Channel 2 and he does his own show on WSB. From 7 to 9 at night. He's awesome. He's a really good friend of mine. We used to play poker together and he lives down the street from me. So he would give me my wake up call every morning.
That's
for
8 years
because he does a double shift.
Right.
I saved him only once, but he saved me many mornings.
So you still play cards or no?
Yeah, I do, but yeah. Not as often. We used to play all the time.
Okay.
Once a week.
Poker or everything?
Poker. We love dealer's choice.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what? So what's your game?
I really do love, whatchamacallit,
Hold'em? Hold'em?
Yes, Texas Hold'em. Thank you. I'm sitting here thinking flop, river, blah, blah. I love that. I love the games that we would make up. We would make up, you know, with a twisty here and a
right.
twisty there, you know, the funny five card.
Whatever.
Yes.
Right.
Stud with blah, blah, and draw the Queen of Spades and you're dead and you owe us all $100. You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
And those are the kind of games I would play with guys and it would be so much fun.
Right.
Just because you'd never know what to expect.
Right.
But Hold'em to me is just, I got really good at it because I really learned, you know, I started playing with these guys and they all kind of took me under their wing and
right.
taught me well.
So is this when poker blew up or before that even?
It was right about as poker was blowing up. Because actually in my downtime between doing radio at Z93 and here, I was working with Mark Arum and a couple of other people. We were trying to get a poker show on television.
Right.
And so we literally for a year were working on getting a Texas Hold'em show. And we went out to the Bicycle Club in Los Angeles. And we went to all these places and were trying to get sponsors. It was really interesting. And so
right.
we met a lot of those old poker players and the famous guys that are
Doyle Brunson and all those guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was really fun.
But it just, it didn't.
The thing was, is that everybody and their mom was doing it. And
of course.
We were people from Atlanta that were just loved playing poker. It
right.
would have been great. Our skills were television and radio. We
right.
had the voices, we had the ideas, we could play.
Right.
But we didn't, yeah, that doesn't necessarily translate.
So besides your local radio here, as he talked about, were you like a big Casey Kasem guy or?
Oh, well, everybody loved Casey Kasem. Are you kidding?
Right.
No, I think I loved Quixie, WQXI, where McKee was. And then we started to listen to, it wasn't Star 94, so it was 94Q,
right.
FM, because my older brother said to me, if you like the AM that had all the poppy stuff and
right.
Three Dog Night and all that, who I still love.
Three Dog Night?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Three Dog Night and all the 70s songs that were so pop were really fun.
Right.
And even like, you know, you'd have even the Allman Brothers would be top 40 back then, you know.
Right.
But then when I went to 94 or I get confused with the 94Q.
Right.
The FM station. That was when you heard Who Are You by The Who and all
right.
that stuff. And I was like, oh, I get it now.
Right.
It was like that was kind of the epiphany for me with radio.
Right.
But it wasn't the DJs so much. And, you know. That's interesting to me, actually, now that I think of it, because I really have always thought the music's the star.
Right.
Really and truly. I've never been like, hey, everybody wants to know what I was doing last night. That's not really the way I view my time on the radio.
So what do you view your job as today?
Today, I feel like it's more about making people feel great about getting old. That we're still cool. And that the song is still meaningful. And that you can still hear it and remember it and remember how you felt.
Right.
Like when you're telling me back in school and that you walked to school or whatever. And what you, I mean, you obviously loved Z93. I mean, that's so funny to me because that to me was nothing compared to 96 Rock. 96 Rock to me was the heritage rock station in Atlanta. And I was so lucky to be there for so long during the best period
right.
of rock at 96 Rock.
Right.
Really, actually, I wish I had been there a little earlier. But you know, it started in 74. I got there in 83.
Right.
So we were playing Flock of Seagulls and all that crap when
right.
I started.
But I wasn't. But remember, I'm a kid, so I'm listening to whatever people in the car are probably
yes.
listening to or at our house. Right.
Yeah.
And I think in the morning. Who's the couple? What are they? I feel like there was somebody listening to them. The couple that's been on forever. They're not together, but a man and a woman.
Well, on which station?
That's what I'm saying. They've moved around.
Steve and Vicky?
Yeah. Like, I think I remember hearing them.
Oh, they were on Star 94 forever.
So that was the popular station.
They were on that you call the soccer mom kind of.
Well, like, where would I have heard the Bengals?
Probably on Star 94.
Okay, so
yeah.
I think there was a lot of that. But again, I'll have the older sisters with the classic rock. And then classic rock, remember, was cool again. So I saw The Who and The Stones in the same year. I'm sure you went to both of those shows.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Right?
I never missed them, yes.
Right? Phenomenal.
Yes.
Right? Speaking of which, I just want to quickly say, when you said, who are you? So back then when you had to bleep things, I remember always there was like a will they or won't they bleep the who the fuck
we
are you?
Bleep.
You
no,
never did?
Oh, that wasn't bleeped.
I feel like sometimes
not
it was.
Rock, no, but now John Mellencamp, I remember Play Guitar.
Right.
You know that song where he goes, forget all about that
macho shit and learn how to play guitar.
Play guitar. So blatant. That, but on the who are you? That's not quite as blatant. I didn't even know it when I was younger.
Really?
I didn't know that's what they
it's
were
like
saying.
The best part of the song.
Yeah, but I didn't.
You keep looking at him, by the way. His,
oh, it's because
his,
I love
his musical reference is probably slightly different. Bradley, we're talking about, by the way.
And Bradley, what year did you graduate from? Instead of saying how old are you, it'll
right.
What year
did you graduate from high school?
I graduated high school in 2007.
Now, listen.
Should I have known?
No.
He seems older. You're an older soul.
No, because I used to work for a company, and that was in the music industry, and I grew up listening to classic rock in the car with my dad, and I had an opportunity. They had bought Eric Clapton's Blackie at auction. And
who had?
The company was Guitar Center, and they bought Stevie Ray Vaughan's Lenny at Eric Clapton's Crossroads auction.
I remember this.
And I had moved up through the company pretty quickly and got an opportunity to go out for a manager's meeting in Las Vegas, and the CEO hands me a gig bag, double-sided gig bag, and tells me to open it up, and sure enough, here's $1.2 million Eric Clapton's Blackie and $900,000 Lenny in a gig bag. And it was amazing. I called my dad, and who was a huge Clapton fan, and was just like, I was giggling the whole time. I was just so surreal. And was just like, hey, I'm at the top of the stratosphere with $2 million in guitars and a bottle of Jack. And he was like, it was the only time my dad actually told me he hated me. So
I thought it was going to be his proudest moment. You know, that's
no, he was certainly jealous. But this is great, yeah. And I, by trade, a musician, and I grew up listening to classic rock, and it influenced the music that I still listen to and play today. And I think if you talk to a lot of young musicians that are into rock and roll or music in general, it certainly influenced all of us.
Yeah, I shouldn't have made that assumption, because people always did that about me. If I knew about old movies or old music, older than my age, people would always be like, how do you know so much? So I shouldn't assume that someone young doesn't
so cool
that doesn't
about,
know as much about.
You play guitar?
Yeah, multi-instrumental, drums, guitar, piano.
And what are you doing with it? What are you?
I used to play in a band. I got a few opportunities, but I think for me in my life, priorities have changed. And like, I've been on tour. I got to go to Europe, and I like being home. Like, my family would kind of told me that they sort of missed me growing up because I was always gone. And I want a family. One day, so I think I'm pursuing another passion of mine, and it allows me to also do that as well. So
yeah, and he and I actually only recently he and I only recently met, and this is a longer story I can tell you later, but this is like his fourth day, I guess, technically with me. So
nice,
because
I'm
we're
so glad to meet you. I really am.
Well, you know, you had said we had touched on. You said nobody saw you, but you said, oh, but that's changed. So nowadays...
Oh, my God, yes.
Is it because of social that people
yes.
know who you are? Or not just from being at events? Because obviously that always happened.
That always happened. But that's the great thing about radio is that you can really be incognito. Like, one of my friends is Jeff Hollinger.
Right.
He's on TV. He's awesome. But he... when people see him, they just kind of go crazy.
Right.
But I do, too, when I see somebody. I'm like... you talk out loud like they don't, they're not listening right. to you or something.
Right.
And I always thought, I don't like that. You know, I don't like the fact that you can't even go for lunch and not
right.
have to really be looking your best and be nice to everybody, you know?
Right.
Not that you don't want to be nice to people, but it's right. just you want your time, you know? So I that's for some... very seldom, but every once in a while somebody will go, I recognize that voice, and that's a real huge compliment,
right?
But
because that, that's what you
you know that somebody's been listening a long time,
right? And so you're you were saying it's awesome to get older, like it's not uncool, like
yes.
it's great that we
yeah.
are here, and
it hurts more, your body physically hurts, yes, it's oh my gosh, yes.
Well, even again, I don't know, like when you're, you know, when I'm 30, like, you know, 20 seems so young, and I'm 45, about to be 46, and I can specifically tell the last 5 years how much my metabolism has slowed down.
Isn't it crazy?
Because I run a fair amount now, but I can't run this off. I have to eat different, and I don't like to eat different. I like to eat what I want.
And don't do too much unless you're just super unhealthy. But, you know, in other words, enjoy what you're eating.
Right, but I mean, it's like, how long can I complain about the same thing to my wife? Like every night, like, honey, and she's like, well
you know what to do,
right?
Yeah.
It's like, who wants to hear that broken record?
I think somebody could make a lot of money kind of putting in a little box what to expect when you're old. Because our people, my parents and my grandparents didn't tell me. They'd just be like, oh, my aches and pains, oh, my blah, blah. And we'd all just be like, oh, you know, because they never really complained that much. But it's true. Your aches and pains and your, I can't do this anymore, but you think you can, and then you break your leg. You know, it's just crazy.
Right.
It's crazy getting older.
Right. And I see people.
Skin changing. You're just like, what the hell? So that's
dude,
not
I
my
have,
hand.
Dude, I have a skin tag that came out of nowhere the other day.
Those
I was like, what is
like
this?
One day, it's like, boom, what the hell is that? Right?
Now, the good news is I had one here that seems to have gone away. I don't know what happens. What happens if you cut it, by the way? Will it grow
nothing.
Back?
No, it won't grow back. You can just like, I've had a couple before, and I just had several removed on my neck. We're talking about skin freaking tags.
It's exciting stuff.
But just, you know, they just, no, it's not like.
Oh, I just meant if I wanted to
You're not going
to
bleed
it. Like
death.
If I
no,
wanted
do it yourself.
To.
I used to do it myself.
Don't have to.
Right off.
Do you ever get any like free surgery through radio?
I have been, you know, there have been opportunities, and that's not something I'm, you know, maybe at some point, but no, it's not something I'm into. And I wouldn't want to tell somebody else.
Right.
You just never know. That's going down an avenue where you really have to know for sure that somebody that's doing
something. So surgery is not something you take the radio barter for?
Oh, no. I wouldn't. No, I don't think I would. But, you know, I've had, I would certainly recommend physicians or something. But
right.
No, yeah, no. That's not my cup of tea, no.
Right. Do you get odd things, though, like through
the
years?
Oh, yeah. There have been things that I've been like, you know, hair removal things or whatever. And I'm just kind of like, I just don't really want to do that. You know, it's like.
Because you
don't
want to talk about it?
I don't really need the money that much. Well, I just sort of think it's. Well, even like just talking about skin tags, I'm like, somebody's just going to get so grossed out by that.
Right.
And those are the kind of things that I look at, like, you know, talk about that.
Right.
Off
but like
air.
A car or a trip, you'll take that.
Yeah, but it would be really, it would have to be a car that I loved or a place that I love to go. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I'm really not going to put my voice behind something that I don't think it's a good thing to put my voice behind.
So when
my
they,
person behind.
So let me ask you, so how does that work exactly? So the salespeople come to you and say, we've sold X, we can do a jingle thing, or they'd pay X amount more to you personally if you read it. Is that how that?
Like, no, they'll just be and yeah. You know, sometimes the sales department might need some help, so they'll be kind of really pushing you to do some things that you're kind of like you wouldn't normally do. But
right.
It's not because you wouldn't normally do it because maybe it's just not sexy or something. I don't know.
Right.
But the salespeople will come to you, or sometimes a client will come and say, you know, and then you can introduce them to a salesperson. But it goes through there. And no, the spots are part of it. So your commercials are part of the whole endorsement, you know?
Right.
But you, some of them, they'll give you copy for. Some of them you just talk off
just
the top
wing
of
it.
Your head. Yeah.
Right. Well, so I've been doing a podcast for a while now.
How long have you been doing it?
So this one's brand new. I've been doing one for 5 years about obstacle racing. Do you know what that is?
No. But it sounds like fun.
Spartan race, tough mudder, people running through the mud.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
And that's what you do?
That's what I do.
So how long have you been doing that?
So 5 years. Which,
how long have you been doing obstacle racing?
Well, I kind of started when it began. It was very much, this is one of those things you were asking about my life. So this was very, I had another business that I was not enjoying. And right around that time, I had a staffing company.
Okay.
Staffing promotions and trade shows.
Okay.
So the easiest way to explain it is like cute girls handing out a shirt at the Braves game.
Yep, I got it.
Or people down at the convention center. you know, saying, good morning, registration's over there.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. And so I was making a decent living, but I hated it. Right? It beat working for the man, but I hated it as much as you hate any day job. So around that time, I start doing these wacky obstacle races. And I can't tell you the day I woke up and said, I want to do a podcast about this, but I just did. And because I was sort of the first to market and had a pretty, I kind of quickly became like that guy. Like, oh, well, you're the industry expert. So looking back, it's one of those things that I did everything right. Like what you would tell anybody now, like somebody said, listen, I want to do a show about baking. You would say, great, produce all the content you can around baking, have podcasts, have blogs, be in these groups. That's what I did with obstacle racing, but not because I knew it was what to do, but it's just like what I was doing.
Okay.
So
it's really cool.
Right. And so it's, and like I said, like I've sort of grown as the industry's grown, and I tell these folks to give us copy. And since they're not, a lot of them, like they're relatively new companies too, and they're not very savvy. So like they don't even know what to send. And I go, look, just give me a couple of bullet points and then I'll add my little twist. You know what I mean? I'll jazz it up a little bit. And sometimes you really gotta like just hold their hand and or they want to record it and then it sounds like somebody reading an ad and it's like, all right. I mean it's your money.
That's exactly it. Yeah. That's
so
interesting.
So yeah, it's been
you've been able to make money additionally on doing spots for people, commercials.
Well, we sell advertising as like a whole package. Like, hey, your ad's on the website, you get social media hits, blah, 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 blah. But yeah, I mean, again, it's not until I'm talking about it much that I remember how interesting it is that I've sort of turned the sort of passion into a job.
It's really kudos to you. It's great.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it a lot.
That's great.
And what I learned from that was this is what I enjoy the most. And so that's why I decided, well, I live here. I'd love to talk to people in Atlanta, you know, people like yourself or Jim Stacey, who have a name, but also just like, you know, we talked to this girl who is a tarot card reader and a performance artist, you know? So it's like, that's what I want to do. And I'm pretty confident that if we do this right and keep putting it out, that it'll, you know, I'll be able to make good money from it, et cetera, et cetera.
Good for you.
Thanks.
Well, I wish you more luck with that.
Well, thanks.
Yeah. And I want to know, I'll kind of keep following you.
Sure. I mean, I'll send you the links when it's up and you can.
Yeah. But I mean, in general, I want to know how that goes.
Sure.
I think podcasts are very interesting. I'm just not sure. And I know a lot of my friends listen when they're driving and.
But you don't?
No, I don't. I don't, I think mainly because my job is radio and right. I stay as true to it as I can. Isn't that funny?
Do you feel like you're cheating on radio?
A little bit. Yeah, I do. I try to listen to, if I don't want to hear music, I'll try to listen to WSB. I'll try to kind of keep it in the family. I really do.
Right.
Isn't that funny?
There's a lot of good stuff out there.
Yeah, I know there is.
There's a lot
I do
of good
know
stuff
there
out
is.
There.
But I, and that's the thing. I had a friend, what was the one that was like the mystery thing about,
Serial?
Yes.
Right.
That really intrigued me.
Right.
That was a podcast, right?
Yep.
Yeah. That
Serial pretty much changed the whole game.
Yes.
Serial is like the, I'm trying to think of an analogy. I can't even think of an analogy. What was the first talkie?
Yeah.
What was it?
I don't know. I can't remember because I can remember that
the
one.
The jazz singer? Is that the first talkie ever?
It might be. Seriously.
So something like that just changed. So that launched this whole true crime thing. And people obviously love true crime. It's been on TV for years, but that launched a whole thing. There's a ton of shows like this where it's this in-depth interview, one-on-one style. You know, Joe Rogan and Marc Maron have the most successful ones of that. There's a lot of folks that are just sort of taking the radio format. Hey, just three people talking. This is what we think about.
I have some friends that do that.
Right?
Yeah.
So, it's a whole new world.
And I do love that. And I love that people can do that.
Right.
You know?
Old school.
It's, you know, really, I'm not that old school. I'm not.
Did you have or want other TV opportunities throughout the years other than the poker thing?
No. I learned real quickly I didn't want to do television. I think it's pretty hard. It's, to me, being able to connect through my voice, you know, to be real and just to, that's pretty easy. But then to try to look good doing it and look in the camera, there aren't many people that are really good at that.
Right.
Like I watch a lot of television.
Right.
And, you know, there are some people, like Oprah is like a perfect example. I'm not a huge Oprah fan. And I was working at most afternoons, you know, doing afternoon drive. So I never saw the show. But boy, she connects. You know, she doesn't care what she looks like, but she always looks great because she has great. But she doesn't care if her face looks funny or whatever when she's talking. She just connects through. But there's so much more to it that what people love to see. And I'm not about so much about seeing as I am about hearing. I guess if, you know, I love music so much, you're not seeing the musicians play. I love to see them live, but you're hearing it, you know?
Right. What are you watching these days?
Oh, God, I hate to admit. Let me think of something good I'm watching. Okay, I am watching The Crown. I'm watching...
I want to hear the non...
Oh, no.
You can tell me if you're watching This Is Us.
The Housewives.
Or The Housewives.
Oh, my God.
So I just reached out to a few of them. There's a show called Wags.
Yeah, no, that one, I kind of, I draw the line. Like, some are just too.
Right. Well.
Isn't Wags in Atlanta, but it's in Atlanta, right?
But it's in Atlanta, and I just, it's funny. It's one of those things where on Instagram, I followed one of them, and then it recommended the rest of them. And I just, you know, DM'd them all, hey, do you want to be on the show? And one of them got back to me right away. And so I was like, okay, cool. So.
That's pretty cool.
So stay tuned to.
Is that on Bravo?
I don't know what it's on because I don't watch any of those shows. I'm
You're gonna have to watch before you interview her.
Well, here's the thing.
You should anyway.
Well, here's the thing. So I'm curious what your thoughts are on this. Have you heard? You probably haven't. He's a guy named Jesse Thorne. Jesse Thorne is like a younger Ira Glass, I guess. You know who Ira
okay,
is.
Yes.
So he's had a podcast for a long time, and he did a show called The Turnaround where he interviewed great interviewers. So he interviewed Katie Couric. And Larry King.
Bob Costas had to be in there. No?
I don't think he got Bob.
I thought Bob was great.
Bob is my childhood hero.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
I wanted to be a sportscaster before I ever wanted to do anything.
Didn't he have that show where it wasn't sports?
No, he had a late show called Later.
Yeah.
No, he was great. And he had some...
Really good.
So he had... And he had Ira Glass, and he had... Oh, what's her name on NPR? Not Ira Glass, but the woman who's... interviewed everybody. And it was so great because they all had different things. Like Ira Glass takes 10,000 hours and boils it down to like, he says, yeah, I'll interview 100 people in that town and use one guy and use 1 minute of that. Me, like, this is how I do it. I just roll. And that's how like Larry King said, he didn't do any research because he wanted to learn as the audience learned, right? I like to do just enough research.
Okay.
I like to do just enough to like get the conversation going, right?
But I don't know if I buy that with somebody that's not as well known. Now, Larry King, really, I watched him for so many years.
Right.
He had those cards. Believe me, like he wouldn't have somebody that wasn't a household name and not have done some research because that person can't carry it, right?
No, but I like, but what you're saying is, listen, I'm going to listen to that latest.
But I'm worried that the Wags girl, you might not be asking her the right questions.
Well, here's the thing. Let me put it this way. I definitely want to get people from The Walking Dead. Am I going to watch all 7 seasons of The Walking Dead?
I
probably...
Oh, I would do that interview with you. So I'll ask all the questions that you... I would do that interview with you in a heartbeat.
Well, you can get those interviews.
Hell no. I haven't tried, but no. I know I can interview rock stars, but Walking Dead stars? Are you kidding? You get it.
Doesn't,
I'll be there with you.
There's no parlay?
I've watched every
one
of those
shows. No, but I'm saying you're telling me you can't parlay this into TV people?
I haven't tried.
Why don't you?
I don't know because maybe it's not that important to me. I feel like I've met the people that have meant the most to me. I've done lots of interviews. I love that. That's my favorite part.
Oh, okay. But like Jim Stacy, I knew a few of his highlights and that's enough for me to get started. But like, I didn't even know, like I said, about the movie industry I assumed he was cooking in the movie industry.
See, that's really cool.
So the Wags, I might watch a episode.
An episode.
Or two. But yeah. I'm not, like I said, like, and I... Walking Dead's just been on that list of things to get to, and I just haven't got to it.
And you don't watch The Walking Dead?
I haven't seen it. Listen, okay, so let's back
what
up a little
do
bit.
What you watch on television? Let's go back and let you feel stupid now.
So let me...
Why did I say The Walking Dead first? It is my favorite show.
So let's back up a little bit. So
I have a cutout of the sheriff in my shower, in my guest room shower, and every time anybody goes into the bathroom in there, they scream.
So let me first say that I don't think you're leaning on your Atlanta value enough because like those people come through town all the time.
I know.
You could just make a phone call and say, who in the WSB world could connect me to these people? And it would easily happen. But then, let me back up a little bit.
Okay.
So I have 3 children, 10, 8, and 4.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, you're so lucky. That's so cool.
Would you like to send my kids off to school in the morning?
No.
Okay.
But it would be better than doing a morning show and having to get up 3 hours earlier than that.
So by the time everyone's in bed, it's 8:39. We put a program on. So let's say we're trying to go through something like, you know, a couple years ago or maybe it was a year ago, we went through Breaking Bad, right? When we were younger and they were younger, you could watch 2-3 episodes. Now we get one episode. She's already half dozing off.
Yes.
I'm not quite tired. So that's when I'll watch like a sports thing or something she's not as interested in. and then we go to bed. So do you know how long it takes to catch up on something?
Well, there's no way you would have
We recently did Nurse Jackie, and that took, I feel like, 6 months. Have you seen Nurse Jackie?
No.
Oh, phenomenal.
I know it's great, but it sounds like now you're having to watch. Would your wife like The Walking Dead?
Oh, no, we started one or two, and then something came back that we were dying to see, like The Americans. You watch that show?
Yes, I love that show.
Right, up top on that show. Yes. So something like that came back. It's like, ooh, let's go watch
that.
There's
last season coming up.
I know, but it should be, you know, a show like that. Yeah. It's very time specific.
But it's really good. Those actors.
It's phenomenal.
Amazing.
It's phenomenal, that show. But my point is that we saw like one or two and we liked it, but then we went back to watch that. So it's on our list to watch.
Okay.
But the point is like it takes so long. So for me to talk to any Walking Dead person, I'm not going to be able to catch all the way up first.
Once you get into it enough,
then you'll be locked. That's how most shows.
Be like, boosh.
Most shows are like that, though.
But there are like eight seasons or seven seasons of The Walking Dead.
So what else? It's okay. What else are you embarrassed to say you liked besides The Housewives?
God, I can't even believe I can't think. I'm just trying to look at my DVR stuff that I've got saved stuff on.
So it's not all...
Oh, see, I love like, what's that after... I finally had to quit watching Scandal because that just... Bless you. That just got too convoluted. But the one after Scandal... See, I don't know anybody's names. I don't know.
But let's back up a little bit. Just the fact that you say DVR, so it's not Netflix. It's more TV stuff, more regular TV. Because I feel like I don't DVR anything anymore. It's mostly Netflix.
No, I DVR a lot of stuff.
Right?
Yeah. Because I mean, I watch a lot, but I don't watch, you know, I do have Netflix and I have Amazon and it's almost like too much for me. It's like,
right.
Because I'd be just sitting there watching TV all the time.
So did you catch a lot of, there was like a bunch of cool crime murder ones on Netflix? Like The Killing was great. And
I watched The Killing. What was the one with one season? Yeah, I watched some. Yeah, I love the Netflix original shows.
Right.
Broadchurch.
Broadchurch.
That's an amazing. Oh. Well, that's over. The last one just, I haven't watched the last season yet.
Right. But those are all good. They're so good. They're all mostly two or three seasons and then they move on.
I like that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, yeah. But then I'd still also love the ones that are, if The Walking Dead went away, I'd be very, very sad.
But it is going to go away, isn't it?
Not anytime soon.
Because it's still a freaking moneymaker?
Yeah. Even though the ratings have gone down a tiny bit, but it's so good. It's so good. I can't believe they just killed off a major character.
Don't tell me.
I'm not going to.
Okay.
But it's such a major character.
That people are losing their mind?
Yeah. I was surprised I didn't hear more about it. I think people were shocked.
Right.
But that bothered me because it was a character in original. Do you watch it? Oh my God. It was unbelievable.
Right, I don't want you guys to get too off the rails here on The Walking Dead.
But you get an interview with The Walking Dead, I want to come and be your intern. I'll take pictures and stuff.
Okay.
Bradley and I will hang out. Seriously.
Okay. That would be great. I would say, guess who's my intern today?
Yeah, there
Katie
you go.
Kylie.
Because I love them so much. I do.
But again, I think you should, when you get, you know, some time or whatever, just like I said, I'm sure there's like through this building, right?
It's funny. There are some things that you can do, and there's some things that just don't know.
That you're just like, hey, radio lady, go back over there?
No, they're never like that. They want to help.
Right. How much, tell me, we're looking at your big board here. How much has this changed?
I'm looking at, I'm kind of distracted a little bit because I'm looking at when I talk now.
Okay. Just let me know when you need to talk.
I'm officially on the air. This has changed. Oh, I still have, I've got after With or Without You, so I've got like 8 minutes.
Okay.
This has changed extraordinarily.
Because that still looks semi-old school.
It does. I mean, this board's really old.
I mean, they're not the knobs, right?
No.
The potting it up, as we used to say, right? They're not that, but
no.
We got to make sure we get a couple of shots of that.
Yeah. No, this board, actually, they've been saying for several years that they have a new board for all the studios, and I think they're putting them in other studios. I don't know when ours is coming, but they have them on all the production studios. There are a lot of studios here. But I don't mind it at all. It does its thing, and it's going to be a pain when they bring in a new board because then we're gonna have to learn it all.
But Steve says he does it like he could do it at home if you wanted to.
You can, but that's the thing. That's kind of what I don't like about it is so much of it's done for you now. Like we don't do segues. You could set it where every time between a song you can turn it on yourself, you know, if you wanted to use more pots and stuff.
Right.
But the thing is, this will keep running until I put a stop thing on it.
Right.
You know, it'll keep running until the end of time.
See, I assumed it would, honestly, at this point, I assumed it would be like a couple of laptops. That's what I thought it would be. Like, I didn't even think I'd see this.
Sure. No. Yeah. No, I don't know why I guess because we're still engineering a lot. Like, when there are remotes and things, you know, I have to bring those in, and the traffic guy comes in another pot, and it's there's still enough going on.
Right. How come the magic red light isn't on?
That goes on when there's an emergency, like...
Oh, that's not the we're on the air light? Is there one of those?
No, there's one of those outside the door, and it doesn't work too well because people come in here all the time. I'm looking at it, I'm like, I'm talking right now, but it doesn't matter.
Right.
It's just brings a little more radio drama.
Right. So when you came in, what did this look like?
Exactly the same. So it was 8 years ago.
No, but I mean, like in radio, like
no, it's going to be 10 years this year. Oh, in radio,
in like 30 years ago.
Gosh. No, this would have been. It was the turn pots.
Right.
Yeah.
Old school.
Yeah, you push the button and you turned it up, and you didn't want to have it turned up and then push the button because you'd hear the record drag. Isn't that crazy? I can remember still doing the turntables. Yeah.
Right.
Yep. And then the CDs, and we thought CDs were indestructible because they told us they were.
Right.
So we'd throw them around the studio, and then you'd hear the on the air, and we're like, oh, they're not indestructible.
Right.
So I think the first CD, it was like, I think it might have been Dire Straits, Brothers in Arms, or something right around that time.
Right.
That we had live on the air.
And you got to talk to Mark Knopfler?
No, I haven't talked to Mark Knopfler. That's kind of a surprise. There's some people, I never got to interview Petty. But you know what I did get to do is I got to, Westwood One was doing a thing for Homecoming in Gainesville. Tom Petty was playing a concert. And
right.
this was right when River Phoenix died, because River Phoenix was from Gainesville.
That's what my son's named after.
River? Really?
Yeah.
His name is River.
Yeah.
It's not named after my radio station. Come on! Seriously?
By the way, my wife says he's not, but I say he is. So.
Okay. Well, that's...
we came up with the name, and I was like, kind of like River Phoenix. And she was like, yeah, maybe, but no. And I'm like, no, I'm going to tell people that's what he's named after. Because I did love that guy as a kid.
River is a great name. Yes. Oh, I bet you did. That was was at your time. Yeah.
Right. And we were also bummed out at the, what was it, the whiskey that he died
yes.
at?
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Okay, so
Petty's playing this Homecoming show, and they were broadcasting it all over the country, and I was the person that was hosting the broadcast.
Okay.
So I'm there all day, and we're doing they're pulling up old interviews from Mudcrutch. They're doing all this stuff, and this is how many years ago was that? When did River Phoenix die? Do you remember?
Oh.
So 94 maybe or something, or earlier than that?
Right.
Earlier, maybe. Anyway, it was the most unique experience I've ever done because it was live radio all over the country. And I remember I was so tired by the end of it because I was up at like 7 in the morning working with all the people. We're in the truck. The concert's going on. We're out there, blah, blah, blah. Come back at the end of the concert, and I had to read a list of names to thank. And there were a couple of names that I didn't know how to pronounce the names. And I asked... And I got to one of those names, and I was so damn tired, and I just started laughing. It was terrible. Here you get through 12 hours of live broadcast, and then at the end, I lost my mind.
Right.
I started cracking up. But bottom line was that he played, what's the song by the Birds? You won't know. The River Flows, or whatever, and he dedicated it to River Phoenix.
Oh, wow.
Petty. So Petty probably heard me, because I'm sure he heard a taping of that broadcast, but I never got to talk to him.
That's a bummer.
That's a bummer. Because I love Petty and the Heartbreakers. That's been such a really rough thing to kind of get through my head. Mick Jagger, I've never interviewed. But I have Paul McCartney.
I was going to say, Sir Paul, you've talked to?
Yes.
More than once?
I had one time, and it was when he was doing the Dome show.
Right.
And I knew about a month before I was going to interview him that I was going to get the only interview. Like, literally the only person in the room with a friend of mine from the station, and then Paul McCartney and his handler.
Right.
And we're like knee to knee sitting in chairs, and I was dying because that's who I loved growing up. I would stare at pictures of Paul McCartney when I was like 5 years old. I would stare.
Right.
I loved him. So here I am like with him right across from me, and the first thing he did was he put his hand on my knee, and I was like, don't do that. I was like, don't touch me. And he knew because I just turned bright, right? He knew I was just like, But it was a great interview, and I had all that time to prepare.
Right.
And the last thing he had done was this double CD. It was called the, it was a classical piece. And he had been asked to write a classical piece, the Liverpool Oratorio.
Right, I remember that time period.
And I bought it. And like, I think I was like one of the only people to buy this. Right. And it was really expensive at the time, but I spent like $50 on the CD, double CD. And I scoured the liner notes. And so when we started talking, I started talking about his latest thing, right? Which was the Liverpool Oratorio. And there was a lot of stuff about his life in there. About his mother and about his teachers and about his dad. And so I could actually ask stories about his childhood through that work, but it was really, you know, I kind of got him loosened up, and by the end I had him singing like childhood songs that he wrote, you know. It was like that I could pull a few little things out of him that I knew he had never done before with anybody, and that was my goal with him.
So do you have that somewhere?
Yeah. Oh yes.
So when they pull all these interviews, from you, that's like your collection. Like that's, you have them. Yes. Where do you have them at home? On CDs, on files?
Sadly, something like my Bowie one, the tape broke, the cassette broke. So I've got to figure out how to. Does anybody know how to fix a? You'd think around here, but a cassette would be fixable, wouldn't it?
I'm the wrong guy.
I can do it with reel to reel, but a cassette tape, I'm not sure.
But I'm saying, so you just.
I have them on the cassettes.
Do you need to do your thing?
No, I've got 4 minutes.
When you.
So I had.
But when you did these interviews through the years, did you just say to yourself, I want to save these for my own thing?
Yeah. And then there were some, I had an interview with Don Henley. He came in town to see Springsteen's Born in the USA tour. So he was in town and he had just done Building the Perfect Beast. So all She Wants to Do Is Dance is on that. All those great songs are on that album.
Boys of Summer?
Yes. And so he comes into town and he decides he's just going to come to the radio station that plays his music. And so they call last minute. It's like in comes Don Henley. And I'm like, what kind of car do you drive? I mean, literally, it was because he knew I wasn't prepared.
Right.
I loved the album, but I didn't have any time. He sat in with me for about an hour and a half. I don't have it on tape.
Bummer.
It was lost in the airwaves. And I think it was after that I realized I need to start throwing a cassette in every time I do an interview. And so I have almost all of them, yeah.
Right, because that's what I listen to podcasts more than the radio. But when I do, that's what I remember hearing.
Oh, see, that's cool. That's nice.
Is that you're doing your thing.
Yeah.
So that's really cool that you have all those. Yeah, and that the quality is still good enough that...
Yeah, some of it's not. Some of it's, you can really tell a difference, but yeah.
Right.
Those are special to me because that's like, I don't care so much about the pictures with somebody, even though they're fun.
Right.
But to me, it's like, I actually had a conversation with that person.
Right. Like this will live forever.
Yeah.
You know, like I've put my kids on before and yeah, it's like, that's, yeah, I know.
It's very special. Right. It's really special. And the thing to me is I also always felt like, just so you know this, I always felt like I wanted to ask what you would want to know. I never wanted to, you know, kind of be like, I don't know, like ask Chrissy Hynde what kind of eye makeup she wore or something. You know, I really, really, I know that sounds crazy, but it was never about, I feel like my experience is the same as yours. I'm a huge fan of musicians, huge fan of songwriters. And so when I talk to them, I want to ask them what you want to know. I don't want to get too technical or too whatever. I want to ask the kind of questions I think that you would want to know the answers to.
Right. Well, I think that's what I appreciated. And I would have you listen if you listen to podcasts, but maybe I can put it on a CD for you. I don't know. Do you have a CD player in your car?
Yes, I do.
If there's a way to do that, because the point was that like they all have this different approach to what, you know, it turns out is a craft. And I'm still struggling with saying it. Like I was talking to Jim Stacy about it. Like this is my art. This is my skill. And finding like, you know, because I always feel like someone's going to say, well, it's just talking to people. Right. But I know that there's like something about me that I'm genuinely
curious. Yes. And you're so easy to talk to. So I'm sure your stuff is really good. Because really, I've been interviewed before by some people. I'm like, you need a little help? You want me to?
Right.
Yeah, it's right. Not about, it is about doing what you're doing, which is just kind of rolling with it.
And right, and being on. Just like honestly, like if I'm genuinely curious about this, somebody else probably is too.
Right,
right, right.
Yes.
And like I said, I think I said earlier, I try to avoid the big, stupid, obvious question, right? Like try to, if it's something I really need to know, you know, like Jim said, like, well,
all right, hang on 1 second. Okay. I have mine for Boston, baby. Well, no, there wasn't anybody for a while. Now it's like, yeah. Is it?
It just feels like whenever I hear, like, I think I hear Nick the most, and I feel like he's always like, coming up with the, you know.
Lots of people are
coming to the
app. That's the whole thing. That's when you realize that rock and roll, when people are like, oh, rock and roll, you know, not representing so much at the Grammys or whatever. Rock and roll, all the rock and roll bands are touring, and they're making the most money.
Right.
You know, they're the biggest tours out there, except for, you know, I don't know.
What's her name?
Yeah. What's her name?
And the other guy.
And yeah, yeah, literally. But there aren't very many of
them. Taylor
Swift. But yeah.
Right.
But then you think you've got the Stones and Paul McCartney and
right.
The Who, and you've got Buffett coming back and U2 and Dead & Company for the third time.
So I was telling you at the very beginning, so I did stand up and I got to meet Carlin. And like, that's that's like meeting McCartney,
yes.
Right? So I literally remember after, his book was coming out. He read a little bit from it. He did a little Q&A, and I just went up and shook his hand and said, thank you. Inspired me a stand-up comic. And he said a couple of nice things back. And I literally thought, well, now I can die. Like that plus Paul would pretty much be it.
Yeah.
And maybe Joey, you know, rest in peace. Well, George Collin, rest in peace too. But like Joey Ramone was also my childhood hero.
I could tell.
But yeah, but like meeting, but yeah, so I could imagine Like
that was it was and Robert Plant. Robert Plant was like my, you know, that's who I, you know.
You wanted to marry Robert Plant?
Yeah. Well, I think I wanted to marry Paul McCartney. I wanted to shag Robert Plant.
Right.
That was the thing. Marry right. Shag kill. He would have been my shag.
Right.
But he was the same thing. He was just awesome. You know, that's the thing. The thing is that everybody would be so awesome. They knew that I was a fan. And then, you know, they must be so great to their fans when they meet him. You know, they kind of have to be nice, I guess, if they're going to be on the radio and they know they're talking to thousands and thousands of people.
Right.
But you can tell. You can right. really tell. Most of these guys are great.
I saw, who did I see? I saw Robert Plant in like Augusta or someplace weird. I can't remember.
Oh, he's just when, amazing.
What record was that?
Well, I don't know. Was it recent or?
Well, recent compared to.
Was it his, so it was solo.
Nirvana. What was that?
Manic Nirvana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What so year, do you know what been, year that,
no,
that was?
No, I don't.
92 or something?
Yeah, it would have been. Oh, see, that's. I want to be playing like some of those songs too, along with The Warrant and The Poison.
But they're not letting you?
It's not that. We do music tests. So, like this last music test, I got to come up with something because they were like, let's start testing some 80s music.
Right.
And so I think, what did I. Because there are a couple that made it in. Like, I love Till Tuesday, Voices Carry. I think that's a great song. That made it in.
Have you interviewed Amy Mann?
Yeah, years ago.
Yeah, yeah. She's super cool, right?
Yes, yes.
But see, Steve and I were talking about this. We went down the whole 99X rabbit hole, and how, you know, if you're sort of my age, a few years either way, like that's the unbelievable golden age of music, and what it reminds you of, and how awesome it was. And he was like, well, you know, we do this thing, the other side of the river. Right?
Yes.
But like nobody gets that because it's on some
weird. Yeah, it's on that second.
But like, why can't, like, if you, that age people, let's say 38 to 50, like, spend money, have disposable income, like, why isn't there?
There aren't, believe me, it's like, why do people still want to hear Stairway to Heaven? And it's, I don't know. But we do music groups, and they're very carefully plotted out. These
and they're still picking that so much more over.
Familiarity they love, and if they think it's right for this radio station. It's very interesting. It's very meticulous.
That late 80s, early 90s stuff, if you're, like I said, if you're my age, it's the greatest thing in the world.
Well, that's, like, we're playing some of that, but if we're playing early 90s, it would be more like the Clapton Unplugged or, you know, things that were.
Right.
Right.
But I'm saying, aren't there enough people my age that you could launch a station that did that? It feels like you could. Somebody could launch that station.
They've tried. Look, Dave FM didn't make it.
That's what that was?
Yeah. Well, that's what they were trying to do. They were playing new stuff. But
aren't there a million reasons why a radio station works or doesn't work besides just, you just think, well.
It's got to make money and you've got to have enough listeners. And the thing is, we are top, the river's certainly top five, a lot of times in the top three. And you're talking about behind V103 and WSB.
Right.
It's all about really the money.
Right.
And then that to me is the thing that's pretty cool is you could just be a jukebox and putting out this music, but what they hire the best DJs they could find, really, which is really cool when you right. think that I'm with English Nick and Steve, you
right.
know?
Oh, I was going to ask you when you said Westwood One, the guy that had a nationwide broadcast, he was like 10 o'clock at night in Westwood.
Yes.
What's his name?
I don't remember because we were owned by the same company that owned Westwood One. I don't even know if Westwood, I guess Westwood One is still doing its thing. I think we still are.
Right. And I remember listening to those and I would tape concerts on my little cassette.
Yes.
Right.
I used to do the Isle of Dreams for them with the guys, the MTV VJs, like right. Mark Goodman. I did it with him one year. And then there was another guy that was, and yeah, so that.
Why can't we think of that guy's name though?
Because
I feel like he has a late night show in LA too, and I can't think of his name.
No, it's and then I was just thinking about Rockline too. Remember Rockline?
I think that's that. Isn't that the same voice?
That was Bob Coburn.
But that's the Westwood One guy too. Bob Coburn. That is him.
Well, Bob Coburn from Rockline passed away.
I'm talking about listening to 30
okay,
years
well,
ago.
Well, then
though.
Maybe it was.
When did he die?
I don't know. Yeah, look that up.
Let's look that up while we're talking.
He was
great voice.
He was so, but he was a great interviewer.
Well, he knew everything.
Every Monday night on the radio, and it was run all over the country.
He knew everything.
Yes,
like he's one of those guys that like you had interviewed everybody, and
but he was older than I was, and he had interviewed more people definitely. When you're in LA, I mean, you get everybody comes to you, you know,
right?
Even though with 96 Rock, they all would come in, but still, like I said,
now he doesn't even get his own. He doesn't even get his own thing. When you type in his name, you get Rockline, and you can't type his, like, the show was on from 81 to 2014, so maybe that's when he died?
Possibly. I don't think so, but you'd need to.
He died of lung cancer on December 17th, 2016, so a little over a year ago.
Okay. Yeah, I remember just, and he was a great broadcaster. I sound like I'm 100 years old. He's a great broadcaster.
But he was, though.
He was.
Right. Yeah, dude. It's funny because now through this obstacle thing, I've got to start doing some sort of announcing, like they do this Facebook Live stuff, and I've got to be sort of an announcer for that. And that's always been, like, before I wanted to be a comic, I really like Bob Costas and Howard Cosell. Like, that's who I really...
Yeah, well, good. That's really cool. You really like great guys, because I think those guys are amazing.
Right.
And you have to be on your toes, you know, especially with sports stuff. You have to know so much, but it's happening right now. You know, that's why those guys are so good.
Did you ever, I don't know, have you ever been tried to be like plucked away by competitors or anything? Mm-hmm. And you've stayed with the thing?
Yeah. I mean, my family was here. My parents are gone now. But yeah, this is where my life is. You know, I really never wanted to be. I never wanted to do like morning drive is supposedly what you aspire to do. The morning radio.
Because it's the most ears.
Yeah, but I don't think it is anymore, actually.
Afternoon
I really
is?
Afternoon. I always thought afternoons, there are more people on the road and it lasts longer. And,
right.
You know? And I think there's a totally different mentality when you're really trying to get people geared up for work in the morning. But in the afternoon, it's really laid back. It's very cool. It's where I know I belong on the radio.
Right.
I love it. Doing mornings was a great experience, but that getting up in the morning was rough. But now I can't remember what question you asked, but
it's okay, because it's time for the very exciting Atlanta Lightning round. Are you ready?
Oh, I guess I am. Shoot.
Okay. When is the last time you ate at the Waffle House?
Within a year.
Okay. And what is your go-to meal at the Waffle House?
Scrambled eggs, scattered, smothered, and covered, and bacon and white toast.
Okay.
Done well.
Okay. What is your favorite place to eat in Atlanta?
Fellini's Pizza.
Yeah?
Yeah. And I got to say, honestly,
the one over here or which one I'm pointing?
The one on Howell Mill.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just always been the closest kind of, and, you know, it's been there. It hasn't been there always. There's another place called, what's the name of it? It's now called The Porch to De Palma's on Collier.
I do not know that place.
It used to be on one of the mills. It's great. It's just great pizza and salads and calzones and yeah. But Fellini's to me, if you were talking about just where I would
go,
yeah, where
I'd want to. So rank these in importance to you personally. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Hawks, Falcons, Braves, United.
Falcons, Braves, United, Hawks.
Yeah, almost nobody picks the Hawks first, sadly.
I love them all.
Yeah.
I really and truly do.
Right.
I do. I grew up with all of them and I love them all.
Right.
But I love football more than anything.
Right.
I even got season tickets this year. What a dud that became. But I did.
Well, didn't we turn it on towards the end of the year? Or were those?
No, they were never quite, it wasn't ever right. Clicking right.
Yeah. So I had season tickets in, I think, 11 and 12. The year that we lost San Francisco in the championship game, I had tickets. So that was phenomenal. But then I started having more kids, and it was like, honey, you're not going to be gone every Sunday. And
it's really a commitment to get your season ticket.
Oh, it's a real commitment.
And then this year you had to buy that licensing thing. And
well,
that was crazy. And I was like, am I really going to do this? And then I thought, bucket list, do it. Just do it.
Okay.
So now I'm going to keep them for another year.
And then sell the PSL?
I'm going to keep the PSL, but I'm going to sell the tickets. I'm just going to every game was kind of rough.
Right.
I loved it, and I made sure to spend... Anyway, I did go to every game, but this year I'll sell some and go to some.
Yeah. Yeah, so I loved it, and it was great. And, you know, I live in the West End. It's a quick train ride.
See, that's great.
So, actually, I lived in Kirkwood at the time, so it was still a quick train ride. We'd go to the blah, blah station. But I asked you your best show, so now let me ask you, so what is your favorite festival in Atlanta?
I love... Now I can't think of the tomato one, the...
I didn't know we had a tomato festival.
Yeah, it's the crazy tomato it's Ford Fry's Tomato Fest, Killer Tomato Festival. I like that.
I've not heard
of
that.
Are you talking about music festivals?
No, it could be. Some people name a music one, some people name a food one, some people name a neighborhood one. It could be
I really do. I feel like it will be the food ones.
Right.
I also, what's the other big food festival?
Atlanta Food and Wine?
No, there's another one that's down by Georgia Tech. I know, I'm sorry. This is what happens when you get old, too.
Right.
Or I could blame it on chemo brain. See, I do that sometimes, too.
Right.
But my brain cells aren't always firing.
Right.
And I can't think of the name of it, but
it's
I love
okay.
it. Yeah, so the food festivals that have great music with them, I think that's really fun.
Right. Do you like any new, quote-unquote, music?
You know who I think, and this is probably going to sound old, I love Mumford & Sons. I think Mumford & Sons is like, when I stuck that first CD in, somebody was like, you're going to love this. You have to listen to it. And I put it in. I'm like, dun, 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 dun. And then it was like, boom, boom, boom. And I'm going, these guys are amazing.
Right.
They're amazing. I love them. I saw the Avett Brothers at the Fox. I really like them a lot. But I don't listen to that much new stuff. I don't, and I'm not sure why. I listen to a lot of different kinds of music.
Right.
But yeah, not so much.
All right.
And it's not that I don't think it's worthy of listening to. I'm really not a rap fan, but I would listen to it.
You're not a rap fan?
No.
So you've never worked at V103?
No. No. But I know that some of the people over there, some of those people are great.
They never asked you to come down and work.
No, they're owned by the same company that when I worked at Dave FM.
Well, I didn't realize we had so many hip hop stations. Like there's there's an old school hip hop, but then there's the really old school hip hop.
Well, that all changes too. That's the other thing. When you were talking about how it seems like formats change and stuff.
Right.
When I was for the first 15 years I was in this business, it never happened. It never changed. People could not get a gig in Atlanta because everybody was just solidified here.
Right.
So formats never changed. That's why 96 Rock was like 35 years old or whatever. And right. How they even blew up that station, I don't know. That's the craziest thing ever.
How they blew it up?
Yeah. They blew it up and now it's some... But they could have left that WKLS,
right?
Left it rock and roll, classic, whatever they did, and that station would have lived on forever because that heritage was so special and so important.
Right.
But they didn't. I don't know how that happened. But that's the thing. It's all money making. And it's like, where are you going to get the most listeners? What piece of the pie can we get? And there have been so many changes. Like to have morning shows change and people come in from other cities is really... extraordinary,
right?
In Atlanta, that's been happening for the past 10 years, 15 years.
And you want to stay here and die here? Atlanta, I mean, like, not that chair. Atlanta.
Yeah. I meant. No. I know what you're saying. Yeah. As long as they'll have me, I think it's just something I enjoy so much. I love the connection with the listeners. I love it. I think it's the coolest thing. Every day people tell me that they love listening. I mean, every day people are complimenting me. That doesn't happen to everybody. You know, I'm kind of used to it now, but right. And then I also get the other side of things. Hold on. I've got a minute here. I feel like I have to do a minute prep for
no,
2 seconds.
It's totally fine. It's totally fine.
And it's comfortably numb. So we need to give a moment to this amazing guitar solo. Is that even registering? And I'm going into Guns N' Roses. Isn't that one of the sweetest things you've ever heard? I love it. David Gilmour, Comfortably Numb, Pink Floyd, 97.1 The River, Atlanta's Classic Hits, and our Nonstop Classic Rock at 3 o'clock. I know someone who's going to dig hearing this from Guns N' Roses. Since these have got to be your guys, big time.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I know. That's funny.
Can we just listen to this now? So this is for me, like, you know, different songs mean different things. This song and this album are me in my friend's car Friday night on the way to the football game, you know, swigging from the whiskey bottle to the MD 2020. I mean, this was like the greatest. I mean, like, now it's easy to say, like, oh my God, well, of course, Guns N' Roses is like, you know.
But back, no, that was so different.
I mean, they're really like the closest thing like we'll have to like the Stones.
Yes.
Right? Just
yes.
Some like. And then, but unlike the Stones, we're gone, which is like the other thing that usually happens. Like, you know.
That they disappear. I know.
Right?
I know. But but look, who would have ever thought they'd be out on tour for this long right now? I think that's the craziest, most wonderful thing ever.
Yeah.
I mean, Axl's keeping his
shit together enough to. I didn't go to the show here and I'm kicking myself.
They've got to come back, don't they?
Well,
I feel like they have to. Cause it's
I was so mad because I asked friends. I go, was it amazing? Like, yes, it's the greatest thing ever. But
me, I didn't go either.
Oh, okay. Then we're cool that way. So we should go when they come back.
There you go.
But again, like at that time, it's like you think of the, it's hard to remember like the radio landscape, but it was. was like a lot of Bruce and a lot of Michael Jackson a lot of Madonna and a lot of, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So these guys came along and were like, holy shit. Right?
It's amazing.
Right?
Yeah. I agree. Slash, I had to escort Slash, and I can't remember which birthday party it was. What year was this? Let me think. Let me look at this. Slash.
So this record
was
is.
A guest
so this is 87 is Appetite for Destruction, right?
Yep. So this is 91. So this would have been 87. We had a birthday party at the hotel that was right there off of Howe Mill, that one that looked like a castle. The Tudor place. Anyway, right. It's crazy. I know there were dead bodies in that place because it was just crazy. But we had a big, huge 96 Rock birthday party there, and I had to accompany Slash. Like he was, I had to just sort of not be his date, really. But I joke about it, and we were dates, and he just was the nicest guy to hang out. He was sloshed, but
right. He
was wonderful.
Right,
just the nicest guy. Because you know, you look at Guns N' Roses, you're like, it's a little scary.
Right. No, can I just say, by the way, you just made like the little shout out there. Like, I so appreciate that. Like,
which one?
The one you just did.
Oh, on the here. I should have said more, but I
no,
didn't have time.
It's totally fine. No, I'm totally touched. I'm like, oh, that's awesome.
Well,
like,
I'm not in the room alone. So it's like, that's nice.
Right. Oh, man. Now I lost my train of thought, though.
That's all right. I don't know. Do you remember what we were talking about when I said? I can't remember either. We were talking about radio in Atlanta, but bottom line is it's money is the bottom line.
Right. No, I was just starting to look at these artists, and I'm trying to think, like, who have I seen and who have I not seen on this
list? I've seen about everybody.
Right.
I just paid for my tickets for U2, believe it or not. I love U2.
Because they couldn't swing it?
I can't even. They'll be like, if the tickets show up the last minute. I'm like, I'm not going to wait till the last minute.
Right.
So I bought, the whole time I've worked here, I bought tickets.
To U2? Or to everybody?
Anybody.
To everybody?
Yep. Everybody.
Are you, like, the only person that does that?
Probably.
That was That was Steve. Can we wave him in here?
Yeah, he might be coming in here. He's probably coming in here. Maybe not. It was Steve Craig?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he should be coming in here because he's got nowhere else to go.
Dude, come on in.
Hi.
Well, here's the thing. Come over here. You got to talk close to the mic.
But you wanted me first.
So I have to say, so the way I got here was I said, look, I got Steve.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I got Eric, right?
Yeah.
Bud
Hessler.
I had
English Nick.
I said, you're the lone holdout.
Why did it take you so long?
He's great. He's really great.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. We had a blast when we talked.
I saw a little bit because you sent me part of what Steve did, and I saw a little bit of it. I thought you were great.
When you talk radio legends, why did you wait so long?
See, now, like that shirt? I don't have that shirt. I don't know what the deal is. But I bet he gets his concert tickets for free here, too. Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes. We have to beg a lot now.
See?
Well, Katie knew. Like, back in the day, it was you know, we would
God,
get a
yeah.
whole, like, hey, you want a whole bunch of tickets for your friends and
it's
your
like,
family?
You're the person talking about them on the radio. Like, you should probably get a pair of tickets. You're doing the promoting. But
Can I just say, I'm a bit overload here, hearing these two voices that I've listened to the majority. It's one thing to just be staring across from you, but with both of you in here, this is a bit trippy.
But she's been around in Atlanta longer than I have.
You'd have met Bradley.
I have not.
Bradley's he's awesome.
Dude, I've so upgraded. I now got a camera guy.
Nice.
When you came, there was no camera guy.
Yeah, but he's a...
You have an entourage now.
Oh, I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
He's a multi-instrumentalist.
Really?
Guitar, drums.
Everything?
Guitar, drums, piano, alto saxophone.
Wow.
Good parents. Your parents made sure that you knew what you were doing when you were growing
up. So what does that mean? If I learn no instruments, what does that say about me?
I think every kid should, like your kids,
right?
You need to make sure they're taking music lessons of some kind.
You think
seriously.
So?
Oh, absolutely.
My parents gave me a drum kit, and I took a picture of it. I actually posted it a couple of weeks ago of me with my drum kit in my bedroom,
right.
and then literally like a day after that, it moved to the garage.
Well, so, of course it did.
Are you currently managing the jock schedule?
Yes, this is the jock schedule. Yes, are you checking my notes?
See that?
Are you the big boss man?
No, I'm what they call the sergeant in the trenches.
Right.
The big boss man makes all the decisions, and I just kind of.
Is there a room somewhere where that goes on?
Kind of, yeah.
Where's the
office?
I want to know where the
trenches are.
The Rockmeister 2000 exists where you spit out these playlists.
Oh,
it's on a laptop.
Isn't this part of it too?
Yeah.
Well, he was asking. He said he thought he'd come in here and just see a couple of laptops. And I'm like,
because you told me like that's kind of could be how you do it. But
yeah. I mean, there's a couple of programs that we use, but I just do that at my desk, and you know, then I just talk on the phone with my boss. You know,
I told her how you and I were saying that we could launch this like, you know, revamped 99X, but there's just not quite enough lid, and that we have to play Stairway to Heaven.
At some point, yeah. Or a Nine Inch Nails version of it or something like that.
There you go. I like that. I like that.
Right.
In 500 years from now, Trent Reznor will be heavily known as like the Beethoven of our time. I believe that.
He's amazing.
Huge influence. Talking about multi-instrument.
Right. Like, how about these guys? You talk to these guys? You talk to these guys,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I feel like I've heard you intro that thing.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And what were we talking? We were talking about concert tickets.
Right. She says that she pays for them because she doesn't want to wait. She's like, screw waiting. I don't want to wait to get some freebie. I just want to go. So she buys them.
Katie's at every show. She's at every single show almost.
Right. Oh, I'm not, yeah, though. No, isn't that funny? Do you
Think well, because Melissa, who works with AJC, yeah, you guys are always kind of tandem on.
She gets tickets, but
yeah,
she takes her husband and her cousin.
Uh huh.
I don't get to go with her.
Is there any question you've always wanted to ask Katie, and now's the time you can do it?
How was rock radio in 1985 here?
Well, I was just saying to them, because I started in 83, and yeah, I was like, I think I called Flock of Seagulls. I said, Flock of Seagulls, crap. So, you know, it was a really weird time, and it probably was for you, too. Weren't you in California?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was Billy Idol, and I remember we had dots for different kinds of music.
Right.
And it was
the red dots,
the orange dots,
yes,
the green dots. And so the orange and green, you know, the rock and roll ones were the blue, or the red was the real heavy. And we had Flock of Seagulls, Billy Idol. I'm just trying to think of some that we still would play. Oh, all those just kind of, it was like the new wave.
Stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, like Depeche Mode maybe.
Yeah, we didn't really play Depeche Mode and 96 Rock.
Probably
but we played,
In Excess, maybe?
Yes, I love In Excess.
Did you talk to that guy before
Michael Hutchins, yes.
Yeah.
He was one of the greatest performers on stage to watch. Like, so was from Stone Temple Pilots. Scott Weiland, those two guys on stage were like their own groovy machines.
Did you see the performance? It was one of Michael Hutchins' last ones at Chastain.
No,
I think it was maybe, and then he died. I think maybe 2-3 weeks later. But he was out on the tables. You know, he like just literally just jumping from table to table, knocking over people's wine and everything at Chastain. But he was just so much into his performing.
He
is this a surprise?
Katie can tell you that. She knows.
What?
No, can I say that?
Huh?
Can I say that?
What?
On my show, can I say that?
What you're giving away next week.
Oh, isn't that cool?
Yes. Can you get him in here?
I don't know. We probably could.
Melissa
and I would probably. I don't, you know what they do? Mostly they do them by phone now. I mean, I don't even know that many people that come in anymore, do you?
Just the people who know us, you know, they'll take time to come.
But can I say it? Can I just say it on here?
Yeah, I don't have a.
So it's Derek Small.
You have to say it properly.
Yeah. Derek Smalls of Spinal Tap. First of all,
it's Derek Smalls, formerly of the band formerly known as Spinal Tap.
Right. But shouldn't we say his actual name? Don't you think he wants people to know his actual name or no?
Well, you can say it. You can say it. I would say it when I'm talking about it.
Deny it if you ask.
Have you talked to them?
No, but
have you ever? Did you talk to Spinal Tap?
Yeah.
Oh my god!
They came back. Remember, they came back to the Fox Theater. Like how long ago? 15 years ago.
I saw them open for Tenacious D in L.A. How cool is that?
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Right, because Jack said like dream come true. We got them to open for us. You know what I mean? So that was pretty rad.
I saw the movie Spinal Tap. I saw like a.
I gotta get a picture with. I gotta get a picture with you two. By the way, do you have to leave or work or something, Steve?
He needs to go home.
Oh, okay. Do you have to announce or something?
Yeah.
Can you? Can we do a quick photo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Can we do a quick photo with both these guys?
He's already rad, super rad. We're about to wrap up anyway. I gave her the exciting Atlanta quiz, which she passed with flying colors.
That was a good one.
Right.
Oh, that looks great, cool. Steve. You're so funny.
Oh, sweet. That's so, I look great. That's what's good about a nice camera is that it makes you look great.
That's a really nice camera.
Right. So, all right. So let's
No, you're fine.
All right. So let's just ask, we'll ask this and then I'll let you get back to your duties and we can fight traffic to go back. Is this what I've started?
Yes, hold on. I've got to talk. Actually.
Okay.
Ahead,
I saw the Piano Men the last time it came through here. When was that? That was at the Dome. I think the Dome. Yeah.
When you played with Billy Joel?
Yeah. I saw that the first time.
Twice.
Yeah, I saw the old one and the new one. That was good.
Water on two thing. Nice.
Do you want to see what English Nick has to say to me? By the way, I messaged him because I was listening to him talk to me, and he's not here. And I said I'm in the studio and hearing you, but you're not here. So he sent me a little.
Okay, so I'm in my car. And your voice is here with me when I press this button on my phone from a video. So how are you haunting me in my car when you're not fucking here?
Well, I told you, dude, I've had some early morning flights, and I put on him, and it's cranking away, dude. I love it. I feel slightly even more connected to you now.
Because I love not doing it.
I was,
you know, what we first talked about was how much I appreciate morning people, because I was
bombing down 85 to the airport, and I forgot even what it was. It was AC/DC or something. I was like, this is fucking the way to start the morning. Are you sure?
I got to run.
Okay, bye, dude. Thank you for coming in.
How many have you done since you know, like
30, 40? It's... Yeah, I've got so much.
Tell about the guy that you were telling me about that was a chef for the. I think that sounds pretty cool.
Who, Jim Stacy?
Yeah, do you know Jim Stacy?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Palookaville?
He ran Star Wars for a long time.
I can't do two things at once. She clearly can. He's now.
Palookaville
went away, and he's making like. The sets and shit for all the big movies.
Really?
Like he transferred from cooking to blah blah to blah blah. You can't tell me this is classic rock. Now I feel old. Now I feel old.
Oh yeah.
Alright. Classic rock when they started. Pretty much.
After they moved out of Mr. Crow's garden, they were classic rock.
So do we talk about them? I think they went to Walton, right? I went to Wheeler, and like they were like 2 years ahead of me, and I think it was Walton.
Sorry, I'm moving the commercials around. I'm just glad that he's finally revisiting his Black Crow stuff.
What was he doing before?
This is his own solo stuff, and every once in a while he'd throw in like an occasional deep track. But he finally said, you know, that he's going to be doing what are they calling it? As the Crow Flies tour or something like that. Chris Robinson was doing something, and he was in the trailer with his wife at the time, which was Goldie Hawn's kid.
Right.
Kate Hudson.
Yeah. And the trailer was just rocking back and forth, but it wasn't in that way.
Right, but see, I think I realize why this is so weird for me now, is that even though you're on the river now, I do associate your voice with this entirely other genre of music to Katie, so that's why I think it's a bit trippy.
Well, you must have played the Black Crowes too then.
No, but when he said like Big Day Out, because that's what he and I talked about. We talked about Lollapalooza and Big Day Out and all that 99X madness.
That actually might not have been a Big Day Out. That might have been a Music Midtown.
It was Music Midtown.
Which was always shared with 96 Rock. That was a great setup because you had... one radio station with its stage over here. You had a station with a stage over here. Right. You had all these other in-between stages, and you could just make your way back and forth. And now, I mean, they just kind of ignore us as radio people when they do Music Midtown.
Oh, there's no more
We don't need
rock.
You anymore. You know, there's no... Because, like, Katie, you guys would get up there and introduce the different bands that were on the 96
Rock stage. Yeah, but they don't... it's all the money thing, and it's all like, who's going to spend the money and spend a day outside anymore, you know? We're not going to do that as much as 20-somethings are, you know? So...
You get them to work for free, right? 20-somethings?
Yeah.
Although, didn't Elton John play Midtown like 2 years ago or something?
Not long ago.
Yeah.
Well, that was a good performance, too.
He lived here for a hot minute, right?
He still does.
He still has a little place here, I think. Yeah.
Not a little place.
Elton has a little place.
Two floors all the way around.
With regard to his mansions in England. Yeah.
It still is a pretty big place in regards to anything, because it is. It's two floors in that high rise. Yeah.
Have you been there, Katie?
No, but I know people that have. Yeah. No. And you know, my mother's friends, it's right across the street from our churches. Like, I went to Christ the King, and then there's that white church that his building's across from. And my mother's friend used to run into him in the elevator. So this lady's like 80 years old. Just, he's the nicest man. He was very nice to his neighbors. Or is very nice. I like that. Why are you staring at Steve that way? That's like, there's something going on there.
Yeah.
I'm also happy to see you, because, like, you know, I interviewed you a while ago, and I appreciate
you. He had a cow when he saw you through the window. He's like, there's Steve. And I was like,
well, because it took me a second to recognize. I'm like,
and then he's like, can we get him in here? And I'm like, he's probably coming in here.
Anyway.
Yeah.
To give me pieces of paper with highlights on them.
Drop off stuff.
Yeah. I'm delighted you were still here.
Oh, did you mention
and Elton John, he came by, even at 99X, he came by with our morning show and hung out, and he brought a little portable keyboard and was playing around and just doing some improv.
What did you?
He was about this big.
What did you think of the 1 day 25th anniversary thing?
The 1 day. What?
The 99X 1 day.
Oh, that thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, didn't do it for you?
Well, that's hard to go back, isn't it?
It's very hard to go back. I mean, I understand that they're trying to save the brand, and they have it on whatever frequency they have it on, and it's kind of like it's an autoplay type of thing. There's no live personalities or anything like that at all. It's just, you know, newer alternative music for what that is. And it was what it was back in the day, you know, and it had a great 16, 17 year run, and to try to revive something like that is impossible. It's just impossible. I mean, even 96 Rock. I mean, there was that moment in time, a long moment in time for 96
yes.
Rock, and I mean, compared to say 99X, but it you can never go back. Even if you got everybody together again,
so you didn't. But that's what I was talking about. That day, didn't you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
he was. Well, you were part of. No, weren't you?
I was. I talked to him a little bit. Yeah.
Didn't they bring you in?
Well, no, because it was the morning show. It was the morning.
Right, but he was on the air here.
But yeah. But as like a special guest, they didn't bring you in?
They did.
Yeah, I talked to him on the phone. Yeah, I didn't go in.
It is a weird thing.
Did they not do it here?
No. What do you mean?
The show?
Yeah, it was in their studios.
Right.
Over, I think it was one of the studios over by Q100 or whatever.
Right.
Life goes on. He has a new job. He was doing his thing.
Well, we had this very like fond, like, wouldn't it be great if there was a station? Like, did you not remember that whole conversation we had?
Yeah. Oh, no. I think
everybody feels that way.
What we talked about, and even Katie and I have talked about this too, it would be nice if that particular format of alternative rock could move into the classic alternative.
Right. That's right.
When you're not playing new music, because all the new music out there, save for Metallica, Mastodon, and Foo Fighters, sucks with regard to rock music. So it'd be nice to be able just to play the stuff that was, you know, from the late 70s, Elvis Costello and the Ramones and the Clash and stuff like that, all the way through the 80s, all the way through the 90s, and then just play all those classics that everybody grew up listening to,
right?
Without trying to put the new stuff in. And then if you had a lot of the old personalities host that would be cool, just like classic rock is done by
right.
people who were here right. first. So that would work.
We'll just continue the conversation on the radio for a minute,
sure. Sure.
97 on the River, Atlanta's classic hits. It's one of my favorite songs. I'd love to play Footstop and music too, Steve Craig.
Oh, the Grand Funk? Yeah.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Did you know that they played the Atlanta Pop Festival the first year and nobody knew who they were? And Grand Funk got up and they like made this humongous name for themselves.
Oh yeah, I've seen them a couple times, like, you know, back, you know, a long time ago, and they always blow everybody away.
And amazing.
They learned that that's not the band that you want opening up for you.
That's exactly right. Steve Craig just happens to still be working today. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, we're talking with Matt from Atlanta Podcast is here. Is he getting you on the podcast?
Yes, I'm on the podcast. We've been talking since 2:00.
Nice.
And then Bradley's here. Bradley, what's your last name?
Selig.
Selig. And so you just started.
Yes, with man.
Working, and he's a photographer. And
a videographer.
And a multi-instrumentalist.
I dig that. I think that's really cool. So anyway, so how's your day been going?
Good. I'm ready to go announce for some hockey. It's a big weekend, too, we had talked about. It's Atlanta. It's Hockey Fights Cancer Weekend.
Tell me.
With the Atlanta Gladiators.
Yeah, so what?
We basically put the entire rink up at Infinite Energy Arena for the Gladiators is purple. So it's a purple ice rink in honor of the Purple Ribbons for childhood cancer. And it raises awareness for childhood cancer, raises funds. And we have a teddy bear toss tomorrow night. So when the Gladiators score their first goal, everybody throws teddy bears into the ice.
Oh, my gosh.
And then they collect them and they give the teddy bears, of course, the new and gently used teddy bears for charity. And then we have Princess Day happening on Sunday. Tonight we have a match. So
are you working all weekend?
Working all the games, yeah.
You got to be kidding me.
I'm the arena announcer for the Gladiators.
I know you are, but I mean, you really got to be, seriously, to be getting up as early as you're getting up.
This is a fun weekend, though.
I love that you love it. That's great. So when you go to the games, make sure to be listening for Steve Craig. And
yes.
He's our wonderful morning guy. I love it. And let's take a check into Doug Turnbull since it is the Friday drive. Beautiful 55 degrees, another gorgeous day. Doug Turnbull, what you got?
His son is the coach, like the youngest coach.
For the Rams.
He was the general manager at Channel 2 upstairs.
He still is?
He just retired.
Okay.
To go, well, and his son is the coach for the Rams. They
all right. Well, Rich McKay.
So you were saying, I'm thinking McVay.
Rich McKay. I was telling her I had season tickets. I'm so glad I could tell the story. So the 1 year, I only had season tickets 2 years, but one of them in 2011, maybe before the 12 season, they did like a random season ticket holders come down and give us your opinion on things. And Rich McKay sat there. And one of the things they had done in like the first preseason game is it's a McDonald's first down. And I said, that's the worst, horrible. I mean, I'll give you the Ford Red Zone, but you can't every time there's a first down. And he goes, I'm sorry. We know it's horrible. We're not going to do that again. And I thought, oh, like, here's a, he didn't give me some corporate bullshit answer. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay. Were you working then?
No. It reminds me of some of the things we do for Atlanta Gladiators hockey. Oh, the same thing. Because if you're familiar with hockey, when icing happens, you have to bring the puck back. And it's Rally Foundation icing.
Right. But listen,
oh, wow.
But listen, for something like that, for not NHL hockey, right? Yeah. Just like minor league baseball,
right.
It's okay that it's, you know, Moe's Crab Shack,
right.
Third inning, whatever. But for the Falcons, McDonald's first down's not going to fly every time there's a first down.
I just like it when Tim goes, it's third down.
But that's also in other games I've noticed.
Yeah, they all do that, yeah.
But who started it? Because I thought we did.
Yeah, Tim did.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
There's a guy that you should talk with is Pete Soto, who is the game ops director for the Atlanta United, for the Falcons. And he's the guy who runs what they call the show. He's the one who handles everything from the videos to the announcers to all the stuff that happens actually in the...
Can you make that introduction?
I probably could, yeah.
That would be awesome. Do they still... So I had tickets in 11 and 12, and then I still went for the next few years, and we still had what's-his-name... you know, it's time to rise up, Atlanta. Are we still doing that at the beginnings? Okay, because that's gold.
Oh, but now there's a video that goes with it that's so amazing.
With what's-his-name?
It's a video. Yeah, what's-his-name? The actor. But it's
very famous black person.
Yeah. Samuel L. Jackson, thank you so much.
Say what again? Uh-huh. Say what again, motherfucker? Rise. That's what I think every time he's up there. It's time to rise up.
But this is a video on that round screen, right? And it's got the Falcon.
That's the Halo board.
Thank you. I call it the round screen. And so there's the Falcon that's outside, this huge, beautiful,
right?
I don't know what it's made out of, steel or something. But they make it come to life, like its claws come out of the football, and there's the sound
cool.
That goes clank, clank, and it rises up, and then it looks down, and you can see all the colors of whatever team we're playing, and it goes down and just poosh, hits it, burst into flames, and then there's the
that's cool. And then for
Phoenix rising.
For Atlanta United, all we get to do is drape a big scarf over it. That's all they do.
So there you have it. That was Katie and I. Hope you're enjoying these episodes. Do me a favor. Post on social media about it. Tell a friend, hey, I'm listening to the AtlantaPodcast.com and I am loving it. And also, actually tag me. Make sure you tag, right? I mean, I like the website being mentioned because that leads to all the other links for people. But if you tag it specifically on Instagram, on Facebook, then I see it and then I know that you're doing it. So also hitting that purple button on your phone that lets you leave reviews, do that thing too. And it lets me know. Also, you can shoot me a note personally. Let me know, A, how you found out about the show, and B... Oh, sorry. Let me know how you found out about the show, and B, who do you want to see on the Atlanta podcast? That's it for me. Love you, miss you, mean it. Have a great week, everybody. Another episode coming later this week. Gotta run.